Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, joined as always by my co-host, Cedar Sart.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's good to be here. Yeah. It's, I don't know, like, it's a beautiful rainy day here as we are recording. Yeah. As everybody knows, we've talked about it before, we are, this is all pre-recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not up here on Saturday afternoon.
Just in case you were wondering and being like, man, these people are really, you know, diligent and happy to, you know, sacrifice their weekend to come in. No, we're pre-recording.
I mean, if there was a special occasion, but that's just not how our workflow is.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good because you got people have families. I have a cat.
Yeah.
And
your cat needs you on the weekends.
She does. She won't let me pet her. That's the thing. That's the thing about my cat. Now, she follows me everywhere, and she demands my attention, but from a distance. I cannot touch her.
It's just describing every cat in the world.
So I have to wait. No, because I have a friend whose cat is like all, like, he wants to lay on her. Okay. He wants pets. My cat says no. Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, sneak up on her when she's laying there and just grab her and hold her. She fights to get away
no
from me.
No wonder she won't doesn't want to.
She was like this from the beginning. She tricked me. She was at the pet store, and she was reaching through the cage and meowing at me and trying to get my attention. And I'm like, she wants to go home with me, and she's going to be such a loving cat. Mm-hmm. And then I got her in and opened up the box she was in, and she darted behind the washer and dryer, and
Sounds like a lot of fun.
To this day, that is so,
part of your sanctification journey here, being patient with a cat. Well, we are not alone here in studio. We have with us Pastor Joseph Parker. Thank you for coming on with us today.
Honored to be with you today.
Absolutely. This is not the first time we've had you on Share Truth Plus Scripture. We've had you on before to talk about various projects you've been part of. You do a lot here at AFA. Do you mind letting us, our audience, or just reminding them about all the things that you do here?
Well, I have the privilege of knowing Jesus and following Jesus.
Yeah.
I do have the privilege of hosting the Hour of Intercession, which is a broadcast that comes on early in the morning, and it's about helping believers to become serious prayer warriors and discipleship overall. Also do pro-life outreach with the American Family Association, and I head up the Ten Commandments Project, which is a youth discipleship project, and it's been an exciting, it gets more exciting every year, too. So
yeah, and if you want to know more about that, just tune in next week, and we're going to get really in-depth with that one.
Exactly, yeah. But those are, exciting things, too, especially, you know, I know that a recurring thing for you, just from observing, is encouraging Christians in their prayer life. And you do that on the air, obviously, but you also do that here when you give devotions, as we all do as employees here. We have a devotional every morning, and literally Tim Wildman goes down a list of alphabetical, you know, names, and okay, it's your turn to do devotion. And when you're called on devotion, a lot of times you talk about prayer and you really encourage us. And, you know, sometimes I'm sitting next to you during devotion, and I see you taking down detailed notes on things to pray for. So you've been an encouragement to everybody here when it comes to prayer life. And so I think that that's an amazing thing. But you do that on the air. You do that here in person. But there's another thing that you've been doing, and you've been writing a book. Is that correct?
Well, wrote a book, and I guess I should mention it's meant to be the first of a series.
Oh, wow.
And so I haven't gotten to the second book yet.
Yeah.
So
now, just in case you're listening and you're like, I'm about to have to leave, I can't listen to this whole thing right now.
Right.
You can go back and listen to the podcast, but I'll go ahead and say real quickly, you can go to afa.net to find our resource center where you can find this book and get your own copy.
Yes, absolutely. So this is the first book in a planned series of books.
That's the plan.
That's awesome. And the purpose of this book, can you tell us a little bit about, just give us a brief introduction to, like, the concept.
Okay. Well, again, the title of the book is The Intercession Chronicles, and it was a fun project, but at the same time, to me, a very serious project. It's meant to be a tool to, well, I should mention, it's fiction. However, the examples of answer to prayer are actually based on, most all of them are actual answers to prayer. And so it's a fictitious character, Jesse Lenore, but The book is in part about his prayer life and the prayer life of his mother who prayed for him as well as his siblings as well. Mm. And also the book also sort of chronicles the relationship between prayer and angelic activity.
Mm.
And so in the book, it switches between earth and then scenes of heaven where the angels who are assigned to given individuals are conversing and talking about things they can and can't do and they have the opportunity to do as a result of prayer.
Mm.
And so it was, again, a fun book, but at the same time, you know, each of the prayer examples that are shared are based on actual answers to prayer. And I recall talking to one gentleman who read the book and said, I enjoyed the book, but the examples just didn't seem realistic. Well, they're actual based on actual instances, but the fact is God answers prayer miraculously very often, and that's God's business.
Mm-hmm.
And so however realistic his answers to prayer may or may not seem, answers to prayer are very real.
Amen. Yeah, and that's a fun thing to bring up to the our idea of what's realistic or not. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like you said, God often answers prayers in miraculous ways. I would argue that any answer to prayer, you know, as an action of God is fairly miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, our scope of what's realistic or what's possible needs to expand, especially when you look at the scripture and you see the role of prayer throughout scripture. I'm thinking, you know, the prophets of the Old Testament, oftentimes when they prayed, there was this dramatic release of power and the revelation of God in that moment. And that kind of prayer is the same kind of prayer that we as Christians in the New Testament era are called to every day. And as Paul says, pray without ceasing. So it is really cool that you're drawing that, kind of drawing our eyes upward, I guess, into that supernatural realm of the reality behind prayer, something that I guess we don't really think about very often when we're just doing our daily, you know, devotional prayer kind of life.
You know, Jordan, that's an interesting point that you bring up, that like it's helpful for us to understand this, that prayer is one of the most wonderful gifts in the world, to be quite honest, because, you know, as one minister put it, he said, when we work, but when we pray, God works.
Mm.
And the reality is this, that when we're wise enough to fill our lives with prayer, we're inviting Jesus to come in and do things on our behalf. Now, I should mention, prayer is not a blank check, because you're to pray according to the Word of God.
Right.
And that's part of why, like, when believers get the answer no to a prayer, well, if it's not according to the Word of God, God's not going to answer it.
Mm.
But on the other hand, as we learn, as we grow in our walk with God, as we grow in our understanding of the will and the work of God in our lives, more and more we'll see answers to prayer as we pray in line with the will of God. And if I can just give an example, one of the stories from the book that, again, based on a true instance, which, again, I can understand how it might not seem realistic, but it actually happened, though. An instance where a retired minister, he got a little kitten stuck up in a tree, and it was a small tree, but he couldn't get the cat down, so he came up with this bright idea that really wasn't so bright. He tied a rope around his bumper, the other rope around his little tree, pulled slowly forward and bent the little tree down, put the car in park, came around, let me retrieve the little cat. Just before he got to the cat, rope broke. Well, the tree became a catapult. Call it a catapult.
There you
that
go.
Cat went flying, and he looked and looked and couldn't find the cat.
Oh, goodness.
Well, a few days later, he was in the grocery store, and he saw a woman. He knew she didn't like cats, buying cat food. And he was wondering, well, what's up? And she said, well, my daughter came to me. She said, Mama, can I have a cat? And I told her, no, you can't have a cat. But then I tell you what, you can have a cat if the Lord sends you one. She went in her backyard, got down on her knees, started praying. Here come a cat flying through the sky. And do you think she could possibly convince her that that cat wasn't straight from heaven?
Mm.
And so that little story is incorporated in the book as a part of the story.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, as I said, the book is fiction. And so these are based on actual answers to prayer.
Yeah.
But that's an example of why my friend, the person I referred to, say that doesn't sound realistic. Well, real life sometimes may seem unrealistic until you see it actually happen.
That's great. That's good. Honestly, it reminds me, my kids, a couple of years ago, were praying actively for a dog. Mm-hmm. They wanted a dog, and I was not about to go get one. I live out in the country. I knew that sooner or later one would just come out, come find us. And right. That's what happened. About a week after they started praying for a dog, We look out the back door, and there's one sitting on our back porch. And she's still with us. So it happens, yeah.
And to the point that we were speaking of earlier, it may very well be that an angel was assigned to bring that dog because your children prayed. Well, see, God often uses angels. You know, I think of this now. It's both Psalm 91 and Hebrews chapter 1 talk about angelic activity and in relation to prayer. And so it's important to understand this. God can answer prayer any way he wants to.
Right.
Often he'll use angels, but that's God's business.
Right.
You know, and angelic activity is always an interesting topic in Scripture. And I think of, for example, in the near the very beginning of the New Testament, Matthew chapters 1 and 2, God uses angelic activity to give Joseph guidance. Joseph has four dreams, and it mentions angels in the first three. It doesn't mention one in the last one. But angelic activity was important in the Old Testament and in New Testament, and it continues to be important, biblically speaking, today as well.
Yeah, and I think, too, when we think about angelic activity in connection with prayer, like you said, that is God's business if he chooses to use angels to fulfill or to fulfill his will or not. That is his business. But I think that it does sort of frame the matter of prayer and gives us a little bit more of this idea of how holy and how sacred and how powerful it is. Because I think one of the roles of angels throughout Scripture is to demonstrate the power of God. When you see an angel appearing and it says, I'm from God, that says something about the power of God more than it does about the power of the angel. And so the idea of our prayers being accompanied by the activity of these great spiritual beings, that says a lot about the God that we serve and the God that we're praying to. Absolutely.
I think there's probably not a recording that goes by that we don't encourage the listeners to pray.
Yeah.
What do we tell it? We say, get in the Word and get on your knees and pray. Because, I mean, it is just, to me, it's still amazing to me that God leaves this channel of communication open where we can speak to him. I mean, come to a holy God and actually speak directly to him, and he will answer that.
Yeah.
We may not always like the answer, but he will answer that to what's best for us physically, mentally, spiritually. And so I have, of course, I put down Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And that's not just saying, like, if you, as long as you pray in a closet somewhere by yourself, that, you know, think, you know, that you're going to get the answer you want. But that is just like, you pray not for a show, but for that relationship and that bond with God. And I mean, and just like, I guess I don't think as much about the hands that he sends out to do his bidding. And you think about the angels, and they're not, I've never heard it. I don't know. I've never read a description in Scripture of angels where they are this like chill looking dude in a robe with like cute little wings. They're always like mighty powerful. And they say, be not afraid.
Because, yeah, for a reason, because you're probably scared to death.
And our God is commanding, you know, after commanding them to, I mean, in certain ways for our benefit.
Yeah.
Like I said, we don't always like it because God calls us against our human flesh. But but yeah, I think we probably bring up prayer even, you know, just about every recording.
Yeah.
And so I just want to interject before we go further and let people know that they can go to AFR.net and they can find all the podcasts there, including the Hour of Intercession.
Yes.
So I believe Pastor Joseph's show airs at 3 a.m. Is that correct, Central Time?
Correct.
And if you're not awake, usually I'm not awake at that time.
Not willingly.
Now, if you're awake against your own will and you're having trouble going to sleep, that's a good program to put on to, like, ease your mind and spend some time with God and And I mean, if you're awake, might as well.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you can always go to AFR.net exactly. and listen to the podcast anytime.
Now, something that you did mention when you were describing the book is that it's not only the prayer life that you're highlighting of the main character, but also mm-hmm. his mother, if I'm remembering yeah. correctly.
Right. The book, it's introduced about Jesse Lenore, but also his mother, who is a tremendous prayer warrior. And near the beginning of the book, there's a conversation between the supervising angel and mm-hmm. One of his assistants. And he's explaining that his earlier assignment, the same assistant angel, mm-hmm. his earlier assignment caused him to be kind of without, in other words, not very busy
mm-hmm.
because the other person didn't, he was saved, mm-hmm. but he didn't pray much.
Mm-hmm.
But he explained that you're going to get real busy real fast because mm-hmm. his mother's a prayer warrior. And of course, later on, he will become a prayer warrior himself. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, angels like to be used of God
mm-hmm.
and like to be involved with doing lots of angelic activity. And so a person that's very prayerful can keep their angels really, really busy.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when someone's not very prayerful, if there's such thing as a bored angel, then people may have them. So the goal is to keep your angels busy. And it's
right.
not like they're trying to get out of work. They're glad to work.
Exactly.
And seriously, the more prayerful we are, the more we, and maybe not just the angel, it may be many angels that God may use to help answer your prayer because it's not really about us.
Right.
It's about building the kingdom of God. And God will use angels to do that. And and keep in mind, too, it's important for us to understand in all the areas of our lives, two things that the devil will try to come against and try to shut down most vigorously in our lives, our prayer life and our time in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons for that, of course, is he realizes those are two activities that can greatly bolster and strengthen a believer's ability to build the kingdom of God
yeah.
and tear down the kingdom of darkness. And so of all the things he'll come against, your prayer life and your time in the Word are two of the things he will most vigorously oppose.
Exactly. And that's why it's important. I mean, there's many practical ways even to build a fortress around those times of your day, you know, mm-hmm. when you've set that time aside to pray or to spend time in the Word. I mean, my goodness, you don't have to be a Christian for very long to feel those attacks on that time. So it's good to, I mean, I've found have times throughout the day, not just one solid block of time in one particular part of the day, but throughout the day so that you have multiple opportunities. But what kind of struck me too is the idea of that multi-generational prayer life where you have a mother who's praying and then her son also prays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very powerful too because I know my children are watching me. Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. they do something like that. They saw me do that, and I should not have done that. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for us to be mindful, not even if you're not a parent, but especially if you're a parent, that there are people watching you, and if they see you never praying or if they see you often praying, they will follow that example. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a very powerful thing to show in that book as well.
You know, I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 1 that says, verse 5, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. And just as you just alluded to, again, like it or not, we all carry a sphere of influence in the world, obviously within our own families, but really far beyond as well. And when we're good role models and the Holy Spirit abides upon us, that comes through and it touches the lives of other people. And so a vibrant prayer life has far-reaching repercussions for the kingdom of God in so many important ways. And so we're wise to do that. And I would mention, too, at the back of the book is a prayer guide that is actually a guide like we often will send out to listeners who ask for them in it because it's about 10 Bible-based prayers, Psalm 91, the prayer of Jabez, the Lord's Prayer, and a few others. But the key is, an issue is, everybody can use help and encouragement in their prayer life. Absolutely everybody. And so a tool like this at the back of the book is a tool meant to be helpful. And, of course, when you finish reading the book, keep using the prayer guide.
Yeah.
So
that's great. I love that there's a tool in there, too, because I'm the kind of person who does need like a practical little nudge in the right direction, at least. And so that's a great tool to also include. But I was thinking too about the idea of building the kingdom, because you were saying it's not just about us and what's happening in our lives, but it's about building the kingdom of God. And I was thinking, really, you know, as Timothy's, you know, grandmother and his mother did, and his faith and consequently his ministry was built upon theirs, and how that sort of domino effect, I think, of building the kingdom is demonstrated here. I think it's a very important thing for us to remember that when we are about building the kingdom of God, that's what it kind of means, is it's not just what's going on in our life and making sure that, hey, you know, we're spiritually in order and we are aligned with God, and maybe our kids are too, but recognizing that as that faith kind of follows in our footsteps from with our children, they're having their own spiritual sphere of influence, and the results of that are going to be far-reaching, way beyond our sight, probably way after that we're gone. And I think that that's an important thing for us to remember as we're praying, is for that kind of effect out of our prayers. So absolutely. And a guide as well. Hopefully it will keep people building that habit of prayer in their home.
Yeah. Right. One thing that has helped me, actually, I've gotten from Pastor Joseph, I've gotten several bookmarks from you.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate having that, because when I flip through and it's in my Bible, it's just a reminder. So if you have something, like you said, a tool, and I see it all over the place. There, you know, I'll go in, there's this one particular Dollar General that I used to go into, and I would see them sitting on the front, and it's not far from where I know you live, and I'd see those bookmarks
there. Somebody put them there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a good reminder to have something like that. And I encourage you to have, like, something like the bookmarks. Mm-hmm. And is there a way that anybody could get any other tools from you like that? Like,
well, my email is joseph@afr.net. And, of course, we do give away those bookmarks. And so they're AFR bookmarks. So just email us, and we're glad to send them to them.
And it's good to have those, and then maybe give one to somebody you know who needs a tool like that, and encourage them to put it.
Yeah.
I would say stick it to your fridge.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
good.
Somewhere like that where it is very prominent and displayed and everybody sees it, and it's just a constant reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. I would say, too, you know, of course, the book is available at resources.afa.net, our own bookstore, but also available on Amazon and most of the places where people typically can get books.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the title is The Intercession Chronicles. And I like to encourage people to get it for their own life, but also I really want to encourage people to get it to give as a gift, because it's also an evangelism tool as well. Mm-hmm. It does have a salvation prayer at the back of it, and our hope is that the Holy Spirit will reach through the book and touch people who don't know Christ, but that for those that are saved, that it would strengthen their prayer life and encourage them to be a disciple and to make disciples as well.
Yeah, and if this is on Amazon, I do want to encourage you, if you go to Amazon and get it through that means, leave a review.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, if I'm on Amazon and I'm looking for a book and I see a book that doesn't have very many reviews, it's easier to kind of go buy it or go on and go past it. But if you do buy this book through Amazon, go ahead and leave a review and 5-star it and all that, so that people who are browsing for books on prayer, they'll see that and be like, okay, this is a book that's worth my time, and go ahead and pick it up that way. And encourage people in those reviews to pass it on as well. Mm-hmm. I think that would be great. We only have 3 minutes left. I did want to touch on one thing. Point that I thought was really good is that this is called the Intercession Chronicles, not necessarily just the Prayer Chronicles. The word intercession is a very specific word, and I think that it's a good thing to keep in mind when we have our prayer times as well, because the word intercession means we're going in between, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we're doing on behalf. Can you unpack why, one, the book is called The Intercession Chronicles, and why your program is called The Hour of Intercession? Why the word intercession is important for believers to remember?
Well, it's helpful. It's very helpful to understand that as believers, obviously we're always to pray for ourselves and pray for our families. But so much of prayer really should be for the cause of the kingdom of God, which in part will mean praying for others, mm-hmm. other concerns, sometimes praying for the unsaved or praying for the concerns of people far beyond the bounds of who we are, where we live. And so interceding on their behalf, bringing them before God, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And so our prayer life should be largely much about others,
mm-hmm.
rather than just, you know, if we choose to, we can be pretty selfish about, Lord, bless me, mine, us mm-hmm. four, no more, you know, that kind of
right.
thing. But prayer should be others-minded by and large most of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings to mind, too, the picture of Jesus at the right hand of God. We can imagine, you know, oh, Jesus doesn't need to pray. He's right there. But the Bible describes him as interceding on mm-hmm. our behalf constantly,
exactly.
and that is prayer. And so in our own lives, we should be following his example and constantly yeah. interceding and praying without ceasing.
I just think of the moment on the cross when Jesus asked God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in
yeah.
his pain, he was praying and interceding
yeah.
on behalf of the ones who were who were crucifying him.
Yeah.
So I know that we are coming up and we're about to have to wrap this up. So I just want to remind people that you can go to AFR.net to catch Pastor Joseph
yes.
all the time. Like, go through and listen to some of his podcasts mm-hmm. and check those out. And you can go to AFA.net and check out our resource center to find yes. to find the Intercession Chronicles. And if you want to know more about the Ten Commandments Project, mm-hmm. Stay tuned next week. Tune back in, listen, and we're going to fill you in on how that is.
That's right. Pastor Joseph is a busy man here. He's doing a lot of things, and they're all great. So thank you so much for being on with us today and for the book that you've written and everything.
Privileged to be with you today.
Absolutely. I'm very encouraged, and I hope you guys are too. Again, you can go to afr.net/podcast to look at our whole library of podcasts. There's a lot of great stuff there, including Share Truth Apply Scripture. So if you need to go back and listen to some of our older episodes, you can absolutely do that. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply Scripture.